class today. Glad to see you all here. Before we begin, are there any comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me that are not related to what will be on the test? Okay, so let's start talking about the exam that will be on Monday then. Hopefully most of our time will be open for you to ask questions and so on, but we'll do a little review first. So things you should know, right? Test is here on Monday. Come here on Monday to take the test. If you are not coming here on Monday to take the test, you should already know about what arrangements have been made. If you think you are not coming here on Monday to take the test, and you do not know what else is happening, it might be too late, but hopefully if you contact somebody right away, we can figure out what's going on. Let's look at the first page of the exam. We won't look at the rest of the exam because, well, we don't have it. But first page of the exam will look like this, give or take a little few words. Okay? You will need to put your ID on the top of this and every other page. You will need to write your name and you will need to sign the pledge. And we write that down here, right? Fill in your name and sign the pledge. On the top of every page, put your email ID. On the bottom of this page, there is a bubble sheet for your computing ID. Okay? So you bubble in your computing ID. You will need to do this on the front page of the exam when you take the exam. If you do not do this on the front page of the exam when you take the exam, we will remove points from your exam because of the headache involved in trying to figure out whose exam it was. All you will have for the exam is this test and something to write with. Okay? We will not have anything else around you. We will actually make you, if you bring anything else into the room, we'll make you put it back in the coat closet area so that it doesn't get in our way, so that we can tell that you're not using anything else. Okay? So when you come to the exam, that's what you've got. And you'll need to bubble in this thing. Because bubbling in IDs apparently confuses people, if you go to Colab, you can find some images of how to correctly bubble in your ID. Okay? So, if you have a complete ID, like ABC5ED, then you do A in the first row, B in the second row, C in the third row, 5 in the fourth row, and so on. If you do not have all 6 characters, then you leave out letters. You just leave the entire row blank. You don't magically pick some other number. You don't cross out the line. You just leave it blank. Okay? So if my ID was just AA0A, I would fill in AA. I would skip the third row. I would put the 0 and the A. Questions about how you bubble in the sheet? So far, we've never had all students successfully bubble in their ID, ever. Let's fix that, all right? You can all bubble in your IDs. This is not hard. Okay. So that's the test. You'll notice it is, the current draft is 6 pages. It will probably actually be 6 pages when we give it to you. Yes?
I noticed in the directions it says bring either a pencil or a pen. Does that mean we don't have to bubble in
with? I do not care what you bubble in with as long as it is darker than white. Okay? So we are not using some sort of weird magnetic resonance based on the graphite of paper or anything. We are just taking a picture of your exam and recognizing which bubbles you filled in. This also means you should not just very lightly go over. You should fill in the bubbles all the way. Other questions? Okay, if you think you're going to forget how to bubble in the exam, you can get all of this on Colab. And I think I may have even had Colab email it out. I don't remember. I did? Okay, yes, great. So you've all seen this. Hooray! All right. Let's go back here. So, the main point of today, we're just going to do review. Because it is review, there is no particular part I think you really need to hear. I think we taught it to you all already. So if at any point you think, I don't get this, tell me and we'll talk about it, okay? So on the lecture notes, you'll find a moderately complete list of topics, I believe, are fair game for the exam, so I'll just walk through that fairly quickly. First note, there will be a coding question. Problem solving will be involved, meaning we will describe a problem and expect you to write code that solves it. This will happen. Okay? There it is. You will also be expected to read some code, so we'll give you some code, and ask, have you answer questions about what it does, or if it's right, or those sorts of questions. Okay? So you should be able to read and write code. You will have 50 minutes to do this in. Many of you, probably not the majority, but some of you nonetheless, will come up against the time deadline. This is because people will spend as long doing coding as we give them. So that will happen, okay? And it will not be 51 minutes. People who go over make me upset in a sort of irrational way, okay? So when the time comes, you will stop writing or you will suffer arbitrary punitive damages. But there are some things that aren't on the test, so the good news, now we're hitting the bad news, right? You don't have to know anything about the encryption chase itself. You don't have to know anything about the pieces you did, what you found, etc. You don't have to know how to write files. But what we talked about Monday about reading files and what we did a little bit of in the lab, the last section of the lab, right? Reading files is fair game. Arrays, we talked about Wednesday, not on this exam. We'll get to them on test two. Any part of Java we only explored in those first couple days when you're playing around with Turtle are not on this exam. So we talked about how to write methods and so on in that time. We have not talked about them in detail. They will not be part of the exam. And you don't have to know any particular imports. You don't have to know what you import to get access to Scanner. We don't care if you know that or not, because Eclipse knows it and the internet knows it, and so you'll always know it in the real world. So then we just taught, I've got sort of an outline based on the basic concepts we covered this semester. So what is CS? Where are their computers? What is ambiguity? Why do we talk about ambiguity? Why should people know what computing is? Okay, clearly these are fairly vague questions, so we need, you know, sort of general answers if we ask these questions. You should know the parts of a program, meaning you should know what import statements are. If we ask you to circle the import statements, you should be able to do that, right? You should know about class declarations, public class, class name, open curly brace. You should know how to write to the main method header. Public static void main string bracket bracket args. You don't need to know what all of those pieces mean, but you should know what they are. And you should know what the various tokens are, so curly braces, parentheses, semicolons, periods, right? The ties that hold the goo together. If at any point as I'm going along you think, I want you to say more about that, raise your hand so I know. Okay, primitives. There are 8 primitive types. We've mentioned them there in the book. We've mentioned them 2 or 3 times. So you should know, in general, what they are. Right? So we have character, Boolean, double, and int that we've used a lot. Those 4. There is also float, short, byte, and long. You can find these listed in the book. You can find them listed in the lecture notes. You can find them in the podcast from that lecture. Okay, you should know what all 8 of those are. And you should know some detail about how int, double, and character work. Okay? We've done several assignments using those. You should know how they behave. You should know about casting. If I've got a double, want to turn it into int, how do I do that? You should know how to make casting work. You should know about the operators, including the weirder ones like mod and plus equals, plus plus. You should know how divide is different for ints and doubles. You should know about how to do comparisons, less than equal. You should know about the Boolean operators, not, and or, what they mean. Okay? So, you should also know how to declare a variable, int x. You should know how to change what's in a variable, x equals 3. Okay? And you should know the basic math library methods, in particular, pow, square root, and random. Okay? So we may ask you code that needs you to use those without telling you what they are. If we want you to use stranger math libraries, we will remind you how those stranger math libraries work. But those 3 basic ones we will expect you already know. objects. We expect you to know that all types other than the 8 primitive types are objects, and what that means. Okay. We expect you to know how dot equals is useful for comparing things, not equals equals. Yes, question.
Going back up to the map. Can you just briefly explain the
math.pow? Absolutely. Let's do it here. So the question was, can I explain math.pow? Math.pow is the power of the first argument raised to the second argument. So if I do math.pow 2, 3, that will be 2 raised to the third power, or 8. Okay. So this is just the power. It's the way we do exponentiation in Java. And we can pick whatever numbers we want here. So we can, for example, find what 1.3 is to the 7.3 power. The 7.3 power. And it will tell us. Okay. Do you want me to say more about that? Nope. Yes. What does squirt do? So square root takes the square root of a number. So if, for example, we pick a nice number like, how about 163? Okay. We can find that its square root is 12.76. Yes? Yeah, so math random and how we made that work in the lab. All right. And how a lot of you didn't make it work on homework 2. Homework 2. Oops. Okay, so math.random. What does math.random tell us? Math.random will be a number between 0 and 1. It will always be a number between 0 and 1. It'll be some number between 0 and 1. There is about a 1 in several quintillion chance it will be 0. There is no chance at all it will be 1. It might include 0. It never includes 1. Okay? And so if I want to turn this into an integer in some other range, I can just multiply. Okay? If I multiply by a bigger number, now instead of being in the range from 0 to 1, it's in the range from 0 to whatever I multiply by. Okay, so it used to be 0 to 1, now it's 0 to 8, because I multiplied by 8. Okay, so far? So I can multiply by 8 to get a number between 0 and 8. If I cast that as an int, that'll get rid of the fractional part. Okay? So each time I run it, I will get a different number between 0 and 8. But remember, 8 was never included. 1 was never included in math.random. So 8 is never included in math.random times 8. So what I'm really going to get is an integer between 0 and 7. That is 8 total integers. Smallest one is 0. The biggest one is 7. That's what I will get. So if what I actually want is a number between 1 and 8, I need to add 1. And then I will get a number in the appropriate range. Perhaps to make this clearer, let's make ourselves a for loop so we can see a bunch of these. Okay, so let's print out a number where we just multiply by 2 and cast, and a number where we do more than that. And we will see that the first set of numbers are between 0 and 1, the second set of numbers are between 1 and 2. Okay, total number of values is the multiplication, the smallest number is the addition, and away we go. Does anybody want me to say more about that? Yes?
Are we allowed to use the other random?
Are you allowed to use the random class? Yes, you are. Okay. There's a few more steps to making it work correctly, but you're welcome to use it. Yes?
Do all the math ones return a double type instead of square root
and pow? The three that I expect you to know do return a double type. They have methods that return other types. Rint, for example, always returns a long, but the three I expect you to know return doubles. Other questions? Okay, and I will remind you, in case you have forgotten, if ever you're wondering, well, how do various math things work, you can go to the wiki and look at the math API. And for example, you can see here, how does square root work? We see here that it returns a double, that it takes a double n, and it returns the square root of its argument. Okay? So you can look at that. If you forget, you can also look it up in the index of your textbook, and they'll talk about them there as well. Yes?
Does math.random include
1
and
0? Does math.random include 1 and 0? Math.random will be between... It will be a decimal number that is written 0 point something. So it might include 0, but it will never include 1. Okay? And the chance that it will include 0 is almost nothing at all, because there are several quintillion possibilities. But in theory, you could get a 0. In theory, you will never get a 1. Yes? If I cast as an integer, yes, I'll throw away the rest, right? So if I cast as an integer, let's suppose I cast as an integer without multiplying, okay? So if I cast as an integer, math.random gives me a number between 0 and 1. I throw away the decimal part, and I am left with 0. Every single time. Okay? Yes? If I multiply it by 8, I will never get 8. Okay? If I multiply by 8, a number between 0 and 1, I multiply by 8. How would I have to get 8 if the original number was 1, which it never is? So I've got a number between 0 and just under 8. I might get 0, I might get 7.999999, but I will never get 8. Other questions about random or other math things? Okay. So, in addition to primitives in the math library, you should know about other types, complex types, object types. Okay. Dot equals versus equals equals. Use dot. You can only use operators on primitives. Equals equals is an operator, you don't use it on objects. Okay? Use dot equals instead because you use methods on objects. General rule, this is just one example of it. You should understand how to write new. You should understand how you use a dot and parentheses, right? So x dot caret parentheses 3, right? You should know that the dot and the parentheses belong. You should know the basic string methods. What string methods do I think you should know? Character at, substring, index of, and replace. Again, there are lots more. If I want you to use some of the others, we will describe what those other ones are on the test. But those four, I will expect you just know. Yes?
Can you explain substring?
Can I explain substring and index of? Yes, I can. I realize we have not done those in the homeworks. Okay, so perhaps that's worth doing. All right, so if I have a string S, which is A, B, C, D, E, F, E, F, okay? And I take the index of, say, B, C. This will give me back the index where B, C first occurs, which in this string is... I think it's 1. I think it's 2. It is 1, okay? Because A is 0, B is 1, so BC starts at index 1. Substring. If I do string S, string T equals S dot substring, let's say 3, 5, then this will be a substring starting at index 3, and going up to, but not including index 5. So it'll be characters D and E. Okay? And we can see this if we print them out. Okay? These methods exist. If you need to get a chunk out of a string, you can. If you need to get the index of something out of a string, you can. We did not spend much time on these, and so we should not expect much time on these in the exam either. Yes?
This is about casting, so if you were like
I'm sorry, I only heard the first half of your statement. Try again. Sorry, a little louder. Yes, random number generator casting, now what?
Yes, and so when you cast it to make it an integer, why does it make that number zero?
Okay, so the question is, when I use casting on a random number generator, why does it become zero? Okay. So let's try to walk through what happens in that code. So let's say I'm casting as an int math.random. Okay? Let's try doing what Java does ourselves by hand. So this line of code, what's Java going to do first? The first thing it's going to do is the innermost thing, the thing it can do by itself, which in this case is the math.random. So it's going to generate a random number between 0 and 1. A random number between 0 and 1. That will be 0 point something. Okay, there's my random number. I will make it the same length so things will look nice. All right. So generate a random number. It might be 0. It will never be 1, so it will always be 0 point something. Okay? Second step, it's now going to do the casting. If I want to turn 0.58745468416 into an integer, which integer do I pick? I pick 0. Why not 1? Yep, casting just throws away the stuff we don't want. Just throws it away, no matter what it was. This would happen even if that first thing was 9.8. It would never round up. It always just throws away whatever's there. So it doesn't actually matter what I generate as a random number, because I generate it after the 0 point, and the casting throws away everything after the 0 point. So I will always get a 0 in this case. Did that answer the question? Yes? Yes. Okay. Other questions? Yes? Index of. What happens if I type in something that isn't in it? Good question. -1. Okay. Do I expect you to know that? No, probably not. It just gives you a meaningless index, something less than 0. Yes? I could have done B as well. Doesn't matter. Yep. Yes. Correct. It will go for the first one that exists. Okay. So if I ask for E, it will give me the first one, which is index 5, not the second one, which is index 7. If you want to do both of them, there's ways of making it start later on and things. So there are ways to do that. There's also what's called last index of. We'll find the last one, but if there's one in the middle, it won't find that. And anyway. So just sort of a general idea of what it does is all we really need for the test. Not all of its details. Other questions? Okay, so, back to our list of things you should know about objects. You should know the basic scanner methods, okay? You should know the various next and has next. So next and has next line and has next line, next int and has next int, next double and has next double. There's also a next boolean and has next boolean, but we pretty much never use it, okay? So you should know those basic methods. Yes? Can I explain the difference between next and has next? Yes, absolutely I can. How are we going to do this? All right, Jim, I'm going to need your help. Okay? Here, you have two erasers. Agreed?
Yes.
Great. So, has next eraser?
Yes.
Has next eraser?
True.
Has next eraser?
True.
Next eraser? Thank you. Has next eraser?
True.
Has next eraser?
True.
Next eraser? Has next eraser?
False.
Has next eraser?
False.
Next eraser?
Error.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim. All right. I don't know if that completely answered the question or not. Did it? Okay. Other questions about scanners? Yes? Will you have to read things from files? Let's go back up to what is on the test. File writing is not on the test, but file reading is. Fair game. Okay? There are more topics that we can fit on a 50-minute test, which is why I say fair game rather than is on the test. Okay? Other questions? Yes? Correct. So there are at least four ways of making scanners. We have learned two of them, system.in and file. So those are the only two ways you need to know how to create a scanner. The other two main ways of creating scanners we will talk about later on. However you create them, they act the same once they exist, right? So besides that first line of how do you create a scanner from a file, everything else you know about scanners from system.in also applies to scanners from files. Okay, so you should know about if, nit, while, and for, right? You should know how to write an if else, okay? You should know how to read those as well. So if I have code that uses them, you should know how those work. You should be able to deal with ifs inside of other ifs or ifs inside of elses, okay? You should know how scope works. Scope, remember, means that if I declare a variable inside a set of curly braces, when those curly braces go away, the variable is gone. You should know that. You should be able to recognize it. And you should have a just sort of a more like a high-level picture. What is a switch statement? What do they mean? You don't need to know how to write to them. You don't need to know the ins and outs of what the break statements mean. But you should have the general idea that a switch is sort of like a whole bunch of ifs, but only works for a few types. Yes? Can I explain substring again? I can! Okay, substring. It's going to give me a subpart of the string. Okay? Which string is going to give me a subpart of? The string I am talking to. Whatever is in front of the dot. What part is it going to give me? It's going to start at index 3 and stop before it gets to index 5. Okay? Everything in Java, we start at something, we end before we get to the next thing. So we do that same thing here. So I start at index 3. A is 0, B is 1, C is 2, D is 3. I stop before I get to index 5, so I do D at 3, E at 4, stop before F. I get DE. Do you want me to say more about that? Sorry, what does what E mean? This one up here? That is the string I'm looking for when I'm using my index of operation. Okay, so I'm saying where does the string E exist inside the string A, B, C, D, E, F, E, F? I don't feel like I actually answered your question. All right. Yes, in the back.
Is the exam multiple choice, and if so, how many questions?
I'm sorry?
Is the exam multiple choice, and if so, how many questions?
I reserve the right to ask you any kind of question I want on the exam. You will have to write code by hand. There will be other kinds of questions as well. So there might be some multiple choice. There might be some short answer. If I come up with something different than multiple choice, short answer, and writing code, I could ask you that as well. Yes?
So we won't have to memorize like how to break a scanner?
I'm sorry?
What do we not have to memorize for writing code? We don't have to import scanners.
You don't need to know your imports. Imports are not on the test. But if I say write a, you know, make a scanner, you should know what to type. Yes?
Can we go over if, else, if,
yes. If, else statements. If. Let's make ourselves, how about this? Let's say int, double x equals math dot random. If x is less than 0.5, Then system.out.println x is small. Okay? This is an if. It might do that, it might not, it depends on the value of x. Okay? So I run this, I will see if it generated 5.008, it says done with, but never says it's small. If I get a small value, it prints out the is small as well. If. I can also add an else. So I can say, you either do one or the other. You either print it small or you print it big. You always do one of the two. You never do them both. And now I get big if it's 5.44. I get big if it's 9.3. I get small if it's 0.4. Okay. One of the two, always one of the two, never both. But if I want it to be one of the three, then I can add in here, else if x is less than 0.8. I can print more things here. Okay? So this says, if it's less than 0.5, do it small. If it's not less than 0.5, but it is less than 0.8, then do it's kind of big. Otherwise, say it's big. One of the three will happen. Only one of the three, and always one of the three. So I've got big, kind of big, small. Wasn't that propinquitous that did them all three of them in a row? Okay. I can add as many else ifs as I want, as long as they go between the if and the else. Yes?
Correct, but if after that third else, or after the second.
Is it inappropriate? No. It just means something different if I put an if after that second if. Else. Okay? So if I have if x is less than 0, else if x is less than 0.8, else if x is less than 0.9, then what's going to happen if x is 0.95?
Nothing.
None of them. That is okay. There is no else. That's perfectly all right. Yes?
So you could do the same thing that does without using any else.
I could do everything without using else. Yes?
So are we going to be required to use else's?
Are you required to write else's? No. Are you required to read else's? It's certainly possible. Yes?
You would have been able to do the same thing as an else if you put an else with one condition and then underneath that you put the if.
Correct. So I could do else if by putting the if inside the else. That's actually technically what's happening. Okay? So I could add curly braces right here and re-indent. And it means the same thing, okay? Logically, adding those curly braces did not change the meaning of my code. Visually, it did. So we usually think of it as else if, even though Java thinks of it as an if and an else, and then inside the else, there's another if and else. Okay? But logically, they mean the same thing. It's probably easier to think of it as else if. Other questions about if and else? Or something else? Yes? What is a switch statement? Yes. A switch statement is another way of writing if-elses. It only works for ints and strings. It doesn't work for other types. It's weird. It's got break statements in the middle, so we don't write them. That's about the amount of information you need to know about them. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to read code that uses case switch statements. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what keywords are used in it. You just know that it exists, that it's sort of like an if-else.
And it only works for
what? It only works for certain types. And they keep changing with each new version of Java. So depending on how new your computer is, it might only work for ints, or it might work for ints and characters, or it might work for ints and characters and strings. And why they keep changing it, I don't know. There must be somebody that uses the statement that I don't know who they are. Yes?
Do we need to do while loops?
Good question. Do you need to know do while loops? Let's look at what we say about while loops. Did you know how to write both while and for loops?
Yeah.
Okay? We may ask you to write code and say use a while loop or use a for loop. You should know how to read code that uses do while or for. So I might give you a program that uses do and you tell me what it does, but I'm not going to tell you to write a do loop. While we're at this, okay, you should know how to write both loops that repeat things a given number of times. Repeat this 10 times. Repeat it once for everything in the string. And you should know how to write loops that do once for everything a scanner has. So a while has next loop. Be in your interest to sort of know how to write those. Sorry? An example of something that reads all the available input from a scanner. Absolutely. Let's make ourselves a scanner. Scanner S equals new. I've already used S. Scanner input equals new scanner system.in. Or I could have put a file there, but I don't happen to have a file floating around. Put in there. Okay. So I make my scanner, and then I say while input.hasNext. Oh, let's say hasNext double, because why not? While there is another double, get the double. From input.next, double. And then do whatever it is I wanted to do with it. Yeah, so I could do anything I want inside and outside of my loop. The key point to a loop that reads everything, two pieces, a has next, so you know when to stop, and a next, so you make progress. And they should match. And then once I have the double, I do whatever I want to do with it, right? So if I were writing total averages, I would add them all up to some sum. If I were doing best line, I would be reading lines instead. I'd be computing their value and saying which one I like best, and so on. Yes?
Do we need to know how to limit the number of decimal places on a double?
Do you need to know about decimal format? In theory, it's fair game, but I don't think it's particularly important. Yes? If I type an integer when I'm asking for next double, is that the question? Okay, is 3 a double? Sure, 3 can be treated as a double. Okay, so I'm welcome to type 3. I can type 4.5. I could type whatever I want. Okay. So doubles might or might not include a decimal place when I type them in to the prompt. In Java, they always need to have a decimal place. In the scanner, they don't. Okay. So that's all the topics that will be on the exam. Yes?
Is hasNext, is that only work for one? That only work
for hasNext. What does hasNext do? hasNext tells me if there's anything that isn't blank left. So you can think of it as a word, but it might also treat a number as a word. Okay? Yes? What is a switch statement? A switch statement is kind of like an if statement, but it looks weird and we don't use them. That's about the amount of information you need to know. Yes?
Can you go over reading files?
Can I go over reading files? I can. Let me go ahead and grasp what the other two questions are and pick them in order. Yes?
Yeah.
So how difficult is the coding? And the third question was? Yes? Yeah?
Yeah.
Will grading comments for homeworks 2 and 3 be out? Okay, let me take these one at a time. Grading comments is the easiest one. We will have grading for homework 2 out before then. Hopefully we'll get that later today. I'm still waiting for just a few grades to come in. Homework 3 will not be done in time. So you'll not have feedback besides the preliminary feedback on homework 3. Because of the way we accept late penalties, we won't even get the homework back before today. At midnight, that only leaves us the weekend to try to grade it, but we just won't get it done. There's also been a question somewhere else asked, can I look at the homework assignment descriptions? I was about 10 minutes away from finishing a tweak to the website so you could see all the old descriptions. So hopefully later this afternoon you'll be able to see them all if you want them. How difficult, I'll do these in reverse order, how difficult are the coding assignments compared to other assignments? We give you coding assignments we think you can complete in relatively short time. So, of a difficulty with the easier homework assignments, let's put it that way. It will not be as hard as Sundays. It might quite easily be as hard as total averages. Okay? There will also be probably a handful of very simple ones that are like two lines of code all by themselves. The exact mix will vary. The other question I had is how can we do reading from a file? So yes, let's do reading from a file. This is a file. Let me create a file quickly. If I want to read from a file, there's only one thing I have to do. Oh, actually, let's change this to next, okay, because I didn't put numbers in there. The only thing I have to change about my reading in a loop to read from a file is instead of using system.in, I have to use a file object. Only change I make. So I create my file object. I put in the constructor where my file is located, which in this case is test1review, and I forgot to give it an ending. Okay? And then I just use the file object instead of using system.in. When I do this, it's going to ask me to add a throws declaration. So up at the top of my method, I have to say it throws. I could do this, but I could just say throws an exception. We'll talk more about exceptions a little bit later. I'm not expecting you to know how to add throws clauses, so if I tell you to read from a file, I will give you that automatically, okay? So the trick is you create a file and you put that into the scanner, and then it reads every word in this particular case, okay? Every word this file has. Yes? I need this name here to match the name of the file I'm reading. I happened to have a file here that did not have .txt on its extension, so I did not write .txt in the quotes. If it did, I would have to have the same name as the file, right? No matter what my file is named, I have to tell the file where to look, which means I have to give the correct name, including the extension if there is one. Yes?
So you can't make a new file.
You can make a new file through Eclipse. It's file writing. We talked about it on Monday. It is not on the exam. Okay, let's briefly go through some ideas, okay? What should you do? You should practice writing code without using Eclipse. This is going to bother you, so try it out before you show up to the test, okay? A few small syntax errors is okay. Okay, if you're at one semicolon, all right. You have no semicolons in your whole program, not so good. Okay, we'll usually give you a basic wrapper. Right, we'll usually supply the boring stuff so you don't waste time writing it down. Although we did say you didn't need to know how a public class is written, how public static void main is written. So we might ask you to tell us what those are, but we're not going to just waste your time writing the sort of the boilerplate, and we'll tell you whatever the imports are, okay? Good way to practice. Try resolving the homework problems on paper without looking at your previous solutions. If you can do that, you are probably prepared for the coding parts of the exam. There are also challenges in the textbook. So the green paper at the end of every chapter has several others. Here are a handful I think are interesting. Okay? You're welcome to try through those. You can look at others as well. Yes? How do you get the answers to those? Okay, they describe a problem you need to write. You write the problem, you try it out. If it works, you got the answer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. What else should you know? You should know how to read programs, so you might want to try that, right? You might want to grab some code, try to understand what it does, try to predict what it'll do before you run it. And there are lecture notes. We don't emphasize everything the book emphasizes. For example, the book talks about J-option pain and we never have in class. Therefore, we won't on the exam either. even though it is in the book. So the focus of the lecture notes is approximately the same as the focus of the test. I have 5 more minutes. Are there other questions people have? Yes?
Do you receive partial credit for
Do you receive partial credit for incomplete code if it is partially correct? Okay, so what's going to happen with your tests? You're writing them on paper. We're going to scan them all in, distribute them to TAs by Paige and the other instructor and myself, and we'll sit down for 5 hours and kill ourselves grading them. But we're going to look at your code, and we're going to try to figure out how close you got to correct. Yes?
On the cover letter, I thought this was about making assumptions.
Yeah, so if you read a question and you think, I'm not sure what this means, you try to understand what it means and you write down what you thought. Okay? I hope this doesn't happen. Okay? I try to make tests with no ambiguity. But with 500 brains looking at it, somebody's brain has a very strange way of thinking about the world. Okay? If you write an assumption that solves the problem, we can't give you credit, right? So don't make assumptions that take away the difficulty. And hopefully you won't need any of those at all. But when you raise your hand during the test and say, I don't understand this question, I will usually just say, well, make your best guess and write it down. Yes? I'm sorry? What do I mean by class declaration? A class declaration is this line of code right here. That's what I mean. Public class, name of class. Seeing more questions, I'll stay here for another 3 minutes in case somebody asks something. You're welcome to wander off if they don't.